If I could have your attention here in the media center, we are going to go ahead and start our post-race media availability for the Brantley Gilbert Big Machine Brickyard 400. And we're joined by today's third-place finisher, Ryan Newman, driver of the number 31 Velveeta Shells and Cheese Chevrolet for Richard Childress Racing. Ryan, it was a crazy race out there. Please walk through it from your perspective.
Well, we just took advantage of the track position when we could. And, it paid off, but not to the extent that we wanted it to. Casey had a little better car, got through the gearbox a little bit better than us on the restart, about three or four there before the end. And then, obviously, you saw did the same thing on the last restart. So, proud of our team. Big turnaround from last weekend, finishing 27th outright to third this weekend. So, proud of the effort with the Velveeta Shells and Cheese Chevrolet. And still got some work to do, no doubt. We saw lots of cars get crashed in front of us. But, you got to have those days, too, I guess, to make you feel good.
Okay, we're also joined by today's runner-up, Brad Keselowski, driver of the number 2 Miller Lite Ford for Team Penske. And, Brad, a crazy race out there from start to finish. Please walk through the finish from your perspective, please.
Oh, God. I don't know. I need to watch all 6 hours of film. there's a lot going on there. Couple of restarts with some wrecks, and I can only see a real small window of view, quite literally, of what was going on. But it seemed to me like the restarts were so tricky today because of the aerodynamics on the cars, and you get side by side, and just the way things are, you either slow down a bunch to not wreck and give up a bunch of spots, or you put it down in there and hope it sticks, and if it doesn't, you got a big disaster on your hands. And so, every restart, each and every driver has to make those decisions, and sometimes it works and a lot of times it doesn't. And I think that's what we saw today on a lot of the restarts. But for us, Casey and I swapped it back and forth three or four times, the lead there on those restarts, and it seemed like whoever was second would get the lead, and makes me wish I would have got one more restart. Or the one where I was clear would have stayed green, but that's not the way it was. And, we just have to take our result and move on. But really close. We weren't the fastest car today, but our team did a hell of a job executing. I wish I could have executed a little bit better to bring home the win. I'm not sure what that would have took, but all in all, good to have a top finish at this track. I think our best finish coming into this race here was ninth, three or four times, and kind of checked this one off as at least getting a top finish, maybe not a win, but a top three, top two finish. So it's nice to check that off, and hopefully we can come back here next year and improve one more spot. I was thinking as I was walking over here about watching a race here with Casey a few years ago where he was probably going to win it and a restart at the end, and he got passed in the same way that we did here today. And I was thinking about that and thinking that, I guess if we run up front and do what we did today, then we'll get a victory like Casey did today. So happy and proud to have a team that's capable of running up front, and when not capable of running up front, executing to get me up front and put me in position like they did today.
Okay, let's go ahead and open the floor up for questions. If you have a question, please raise your hand. We'll get a wireless microphone to you. We'll start with Lee, then go to Bob, then to Dustin.
Lee Spencer, Motorsport.com. First of all, can you gentlemen describe what the conditions were out there, what your visibility was? And second for Brad, at the beginning of the race, you weren't crazy about your race car. Certainly losing the 18 and 78 it had to help, but is there anything that you learned in the closing stages that you guys can bring back next year?
Is that for Ryan? Go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah, I was just ridiculously hot inside my race car. I don't know what was going on, but my bottom was cooking, and that just made my whole body hot and miserable. So they couldn't get enough water to me under those red flags, but that's pretty much it, just miserably hot. What's that? Oh, there was no issue with seeing, no.
Let's go to...
It was actually worse.
I didn't
it was actually
issues.
Worse when the sun was setting.
Yeah.
In 3 and 4, you couldn't see the wall in turn 3 when the sun was setting.
Yeah, it was worse at 7:30 than it was at 8:30. So.
Okay.
Yeah, Lee, we just weren't dialed in, but Paul and my team made it better almost every pit stop and put us in position to maybe not be the best car, but to be a top five to fit the 10th place car, and then caught some breaks there with the yellows and strategy to take it a little bit further than that. So that was certainly awful nice to see. Thanks, Lee.
Let's go to Bob, then to Dustin, then to Matthew.
Bob Hocker, ESPN. Brad, Casey thought you had jumped the restart there, the one where you took the lead. Can you talk about kind of what you saw and what you did there? And then also, do you have any feeling that they should have thrown the caution before you guys hit the overtime line on that track?
Yeah, I haven't seen any replays of the last yellow to have any kind of articulate answer that I think would be fair to give, but as far as the first one, we were side by side, and I was getting kind of pushed from behind, and I think I was probably a nose ahead at the second line for sure. But I'm not sure when he went or when he didn't go. It's so difficult to judge that, and I have a lot of respect, or maybe not admiration, but I feel bad for those that have to judge it because it's the epitome of a strike ball call, and it's probably even harder to see. So that's probably one of the issues with the double foul restarts, especially on the front row. But that's the way it is.
Let's go to Dustin, then to Matthew, then in the back to Nick.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. To your right, Brad. To your right.
Can that big light on?
I'm sorry. Can you explain the lane choice for the last restart? It was as much because of the speedy dry, and typically we don't see cars that go on the speedy dry get such a good jump. So was there something that didn't go well with your car?
No, I felt like I hit it pretty well. Just Casey, it stuck. I mean, he drove through the oil dry, and I mean, he didn't just drive through it. He drove it in there, and it stuck. So, lots of credit to him for getting it to stick. It was impressive. I didn't feel like I could do that if I was on the bottom lane. So maybe I could have. I don't know. You never know till you're in that spot.
Go next to Matthew, then to Caleb.
Matt Corson with theracingexperts.com. For Brad, does the second place run provide more momentum or frustration for your team?
Oh, shoot. I don't know. I just got out of a car that was 130 degrees for 6 hours. I'm not even sure where I'm sitting right now, Ryan.
Send him an email on Tuesday. He'll get back to you.
That's a really deep question. Second sucks, but, there's 38 other spots worse than that. So I guess it's a glass half full, glass half empty question. But, it's got its ups and its downs.
Go to Caleb.
Yeah, both of you. Watching Casey get out, and he was worn out, and like he'd been in a 15-round fight. Either of you competed in a race that has been as worrying as this one was, which was supposed to be a 400-miler?
Yeah, I think the Daytona 500 a few years ago when Montoya took out the jet dryer was one of those marathons, kind of like today. So, it's happened before, but this is really hot today. I think it was really hot for all of us, miserable. And the red flags, you just sit in an oven. I mean, as soon as you shut the car off, it just gets hot inside there, and there's no way for any NASCAR official or any fan to understand what we go through when we're sitting out there like that.
Yep. Caleb Whistler, Speedway Dodgers. With all the red flags and the attrition of this race, how did the complexion of this race change throughout the event from the start to the finish?
Is that for me?
I don't know. It's just a lot of attrition, right? So you end up racing 20 cars in the end versus 40. Track position is always key, but, it's easier to pass 18 of them than it is 38. So, it changes your strategy, but in the end, you really just wanted to be out front. So we stayed out with Casey and took the track position, which, worked out for us.
Nick
Bromberg, Yahoo Sports. Brad, I know this feels like an hour ago, and maybe actually was, but going three wide into turn three with Casey and Jimmy there, what was your thought process being stuck on the outside, and did you have any idea that you were going to get through there unscathed?
Yeah, it was just a tin cup moment. I didn't want to lose by laying up. And I thought if we all wrecked, I could go home and feel good about that. But if I laid up and they all drove on and I finished second, I would have been mad about that forever. So, you know, it didn't work out perfectly, but it was darn near got away with it and kept us in position there at the end to fight Casey.
I don't know if you could see or not, but the 48 had a big oil leak.
Did he?
Oh, yeah. When he was smoking all the way down the back straightaway, when he stuck it in there, it looked like he was already on fire before he spun out.
Oh, all right. Well, I don't feel.
Just so you know.
All right.
I wanted to follow up on that. Did you ever think you could go three wide here?
No, and you still can't. Yeah.
Jeffrey.
Tin Cup didn't think he could hit it over the water, but he still tried, right?
Ryan, Jeffrey Miller, Rathlon Sports. Where does this rank in terms of kind of absurdity in the races compared to, you know, 2008 with the tires here?
I wouldn't call it absurdity. I think it was just a crazy race. And 2008 wasn't a race when we had the tire problem. That was a mess. And, you know, I think what we saw today was some crazy strategy, some crazy restarts, and not really that bad of racing. I've seen worse racing here by far. As far as not being able to pass. So, you know, a guy could get up underneath somebody and shake them loose and move them out of the way, whereas in the past you'd just lose your whole race car. So, you know, I don't think that it was ideal, but, you know, it was definitely crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. Absurd is maybe not the right word, but I don't know if I would call it ideal either. Maybe there's a different word. Where's Nate Ryan when you need him? But it certainly wasn't what has become the norm for this race. And that's not necessarily a bad thing because I don't think the norm was what we all were looking for. But I still think there's a lot of work we can do to you know, make a race that has a good balance between high attrition and also having key moments that we all love to see. And this race had, you know, some key moments that I think we'll probably play back for the next, you know, 5 or 10 years. But then it also had a lot of attrition and a lot of moments that did kind of look a little off key. So, you know, that's like Ryan said, every race is never the same. That's just why you go to them. You might see a phenomenal race one year and a not so phenomenal race the next. And that's part of it, is the unpredictability. And that's part of what I think we all love about racing. And so, you know, we'll see what we have next year. We come back. I doubt we see this race.
This is a one for both of you guys. One of the things that made this race as long as it was the red flags. I was kind of wondering, what are some of the feelings and thoughts that go through you guys' mind when you're sitting there in the car after a red flag, especially when we had the early red flag for rain, and then you had the last couple of red flags there at the end. I mean, you guys are up front, close into winning this. I mean, are there any nerves going through your mind at that point, or is there anything that you just keeping calm and talking to your crew, making a decision what to do there?
I was too hot to take a good nap, so it was kind of tough just sitting there. I mean, really just miserable. Seriously, just miserable inside the race car.
It was just hot. I don't know what word there is to say. It's had to be 130, 140 inside the cars for, I don't know if it was the full 6 hours, but I think we were in them for a full 4 hours at least. And
yeah, it was hot.
You know, go sit in a sauna for 4 hours, and you can probably relate. But I'm not complaining about that. That's part of being a race car driver nowadays, but that's the story of what it was.
Well, gentlemen, thanks for the show you put on today. Good luck next week in Pocono.